Here's Mary Cassian.
This past summer, I did something I hadn't done for years. When I heard those skies begin to clap and rumble, I grabbed a blanket, boiled a cup of tea, and went outside on my front porch to sit under the overhang to enjoy the show. And it was spectacular.
Why did she do this? We're about to hear the story. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamu, author of Adorned, for January 15th, 2018.
Last week, we began a fresh journey through the first paragraph of Titus chapter 2. We began listening to the messages from the Revive 17 conference that took place last fall in Indianapolis. Each speaker at the conference took a phrase from Titus 2. They unpacked the meaning of that phrase in the context of this passage, and then they showed us how these verses affect our lives day by day. My friend Mary Cassian is going to help us understand what the Apostle Paul means when he encourages women to be reverent in behavior. Here's Mary.
I loved thunderstorms when I was a little girl. Though we only got a few of them each summer in Western Canada where I grew up. But whenever I heard the skies begin to clap and rumble, I quickly go and grab a blanket and head outside. And there was a narrow strip of dry concrete just outside the front door where the overhang of the roof kept it dry and kept the rain from falling. And there I nestled into the corner and tucked myself in and settled down to watch the show. And sometimes I'd stay in that cocoon for hours, fascinated by the jagged light flashes that would split open the sky. And after each flash, I'd count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, until the inevitable rumble interrupted my tally. My mom would usually poke her head out of the door to check on me, and she'd give me a big mug of steaming hot chocolate. And if I was lucky, there'd be a big puffy marshmallow floating in the froth. And the spectacle of lightning absolutely amazed me. To me, it was better than any New Year's Eve fireworks display. I was wowed. I recall one big lightning storm that fired down hailstones the size of golf balls, and some of them the size of hard balls, and I thought it was hilarious. I went out to my dad's garage and threw on a raincoat, threw on his hard hat, and took a metal garbage can lid as a shield, and I sprinted around the yard collecting specimens. And I insisted that we store the large ones in the freezer for months so I could show them off to my friends and brag of all my exploits. In retrospect, my attitude was rather callow. Have you ever heard that word, callow? It means immature or inexperienced. A callow is a young bird that's just hatched and is bald, hasn't grown any feathers yet. I was naive. I didn't grasp the immense power of lightning, and I didn't appreciate that it could be dangerous, even deadly. Years later, while camping in the mountains, I found that out. I was caught in a horrific thunderstorm. The lightning and thunder were violent and incessant. There was no counting between the flashes and the boom, ear-splitting booms. Water streamed into my tent. The wind threatened to rip it from its pegs. I scrambled to collect all my waterlogged gear and evacuate. And as I crawled out of the collapsing canvas, a massive bolt of lightning struck a tree nearby, sending fire and sparks erupting. The bark was exploding and branches were catapulting to the ground. That was the first time in my life I was scared of lightning. First time that lightning frightened me. It was so big and mighty. I was so small and powerless. And after that night, I wasn't a little callow bird anymore. I had grown some feathers. My attitude towards thunderstorms had matured from one of mere admiration to include fear, awe, and deep respect. You know, I think that Christians in this culture often have a callow attitude towards the Lord. We love Him, but we don't fear Him. We're entertained, but we don't stand in awe. We call Him friend, but we don't respect Him as Lord. Fear, awe, and respect are all synonyms for the virtue I want to discuss this session, reverence. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, Titus 2:3. Now, the dictionary defines reverence as a feeling or an attitude of deep respect. Older women are to be deeply respectful. If I were to ask you, what's the most important virtue for women? You might say, well, to be kind, or some of you might say, to be loving. I doubt that many of you would say, to be deeply respectful. The Greek word Paul uses in verse 3 is really interesting. This is the only place it occurs in the whole New Testament. It's a compound word, so made up of two other words. And the first part means sacred, and it's derived from the word for temple. And the second part means fitting or proper or appropriate. So literally then, reverent means temple appropriate or sacred appropriate. Priests who served in the temple needed to remember that they were performing sacred tasks in the presence of a holy God. They had to follow the rules. They had to exercise proper respect for the holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the bread of the presence, the sacrifices, the offerings. And priests who were careless or profane risked judgment or even death. As temple servants, they needed to conduct themselves in reverent fear. They needed to take God seriously, keeping Him in mind as they went about their daily tasks. And many of those tasks were mundane. Trimming candles, mixing spices for incense, cutting up meat, lighting fires, cleaning up ashes. And yet God wanted them to maintain a reverent, deeply respectful, temple-appropriate attitude. And even if the chore was as mundane as sweeping up some breadcrumbs, the assigned priest needed to recognize that he was standing in God's holy presence and that his work was a sacred service for the Lord. Sacrificial system of the temple was no longer necessary after Jesus offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins. We no longer need to go to the temple of God. Rather, we are the temple of God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells in you. Isn't that amazing? We're to live like we're in a temple because we are the temple. And that means that every moment is sacred, and every task is sacred. Whether we're balancing a spreadsheet, shopping with friends, cleaning the toilet, or looking after trying to deal with a flat tire, the Lord wants us to remember that we're engaged in sacred service. He wants us to exhibit temple-appropriate behavior all the time, not just when we're in church or with Christian friends. There is no line that divides up your life between the secular and the sacred. Everything you do and think and say is done in the presence of the living God. The movies you choose, the sights you peruse, the pleasures you seek, the company you keep, the stones you throw, the attitudes you show, everything you think and say and do is done in the presence of the living God. Are you a deeply respectful woman? Is your behavior temple appropriate? Do you go about your day with the profound awareness that every moment is a sacred moment and every task the Lord has given you to do is a sacred duty? Oh, how we need a revival of reverence. There's a reason Paul cites reverence in conjunction with maturity. It's not that younger women don't need to be reverent, they do. It's just that reverence sometimes takes a while to develop. Reverence is a mark of maturity. And this is just as true in our spiritual development as it is in a child's social development. Have you ever noticed how much energy and effort and repetition it takes to teach a toddler to be respectful and not disrespectful? Those of you who have toddlers are going, oh yeah. My sons have toddlers, one a two-year-old, one a three-year-old, and they're constantly coaching this two-year-old and three-year-old girls to be respectful. You must be respectful. Do not speak to me with a stepsister voice. Speak to me with a princess voice. My son stepped in and sternly scooped up his daughter when she blatantly disrespected her mama at the dinner table. She didn't get any cake at the birthday party that day. A child who's grown up in a home where respect is modeled and consistently taught has a much better chance of becoming a well-mannered, productive adult than a child who is not. And the same principle rings true in the spiritual realm. A young woman who is in relationships where respect for the Lord is modeled and taught has a much better chance of maturing into a reverent older woman who will in turn be equipped to pass that on to the next generation. I think back over the years to all the older, deeply respectful women who taught me what it means to live 24/7 in the presence of the holy. I think of Diane, who mentored me through high school and part way into college. She taught me that my studies mattered to God, that the hours I spent with my papers and books were just as holy and important as the hours spent leading a campus Bible study. I think of Lorna, my professional colleague, who remembered God in each moment, and it was so evident in the kindness and respect and care with which she treated patients at the rehab hospital where we worked. The moment Lorna entered a room, that room became a sacred space. I think of my own mom, six kids, and then when I had three sons of my own, three energetic boys, one with special needs, and I was overwhelmed by the sleep-deprived grind of changing diapers and sopping up spills and stepping on Lego and breaking up fights and just trying to survive the day. She reminded me often that my vocation as a mother was a holy one. I think of Anne, who excused herself from our very important meeting to go to the window and wave goodbye to her husband, which had been her habit for more than 40 years as he left for work. I think of Chris, whose passion for training women's ministry leaders is infectious, and Kay, who is over 80 years old, whose enthusiasm for teaching women how to study the Word of God has not faded. Susan, I want to be like her when I grow up. I could go on. Norma Robinson, Pearl Purdy, June Kerr, Iris Beale, all of them. Deeply respectful, godly woman who adorned the beauty of the gospel and profoundly influenced my life. Some of these women have gone home to be with Jesus, as I will someday. I hope I've done them proud. And I hope I've done my part to pay it forward, woman to woman, generation to generation, life to life. This past summer, I did something I hadn't done for years. When I heard those skies begin to clap and rumble, I grabbed a blanket, boiled a cup of tea, and went outside on my front porch to sit under the overhang to enjoy the show. And it was spectacular. I watched in awe, overcome with the thought that the Almighty God, creator of heaven and of earth, who thunders from the heavens and lights up the sky with his power, abides in me and is with me. It was a sacred moment, as is this moment, and is every other moment of our lives. May we be deeply respectful women who fear him, who tremble at his word, who bow in awe of him, and who revere him in everything that we say and everything that we do. Ladies, let's start a revival of reverence. Let's pray. Holy God, you are the awesome God, almost high. And we are overwhelmed that we are able to come into your presence and address you as Father. Father, I pray that you will give us just a deep and profound sense of who you are, that we may fear your name. That when we speak a word that is unkind, we may know that it is in the presence of the living God and may repent of it. That when we're tempted to be quick or rash or impulsive, that we will remember that we are in the presence of the living God. Every moment, every day, 24/7, that we may be godly women who are growing up and growing more and more reverent day by day. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That's Mary Cassian with a message that she gave at the Revive 17 conference last fall in Indianapolis. The speakers at that conference walked us through Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and we'll be listening to those messages here on Revive Our Hearts over the next couple of weeks. I hope you'll take this opportunity to learn more about Titus 2 and what it has to say to your life in this season. And I also hope you'll get a copy of a book I've written on this passage called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. I want to encourage you to read this book and to savor the rich truths found in this important passage for women. We'd like to send you a copy of the book, Adorned, along with a companion study guide that includes questions that will help you and a small group dig deeper into this text. I hope you'll take this journey with us through Titus 2, discover the richness of this passage, and learn the joy of living out the beauty of the gospel together.
Thanks, Nancy. To get your copy of Adorned, call 1-800-569-5959 and make a donation of any size. To say thanks for your gift, we'll send the Adorned book and study guide. Ask for them when you call 1-800-569-5959 or visit reviveourhearts.com. Damaris Carbaugh says telling the truth includes living out what you say.
Even if you say all the right things, are you living that out?
Hear more from Damaris tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. We'll end our time with some final thoughts from Nancy on this topic of being reverent in behavior.
Now, many of the different translations and paraphrases translate that in some very different and interesting ways. Let me read several of them to you. The New Living Translation says, "Teach the older women to live in a way that is appropriate for someone serving the Lord." Another one says, "Aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." That's an older translation. The Amplified says, "Bid the older women to be reverent and devout in their deportment as becomes those engaged in sacred service." And then the New English Translation, "Older women likewise are to exhibit behavior fitting for those who are holy." And then here's my favorite of these particular ones, and I've been just kind of cogitating, pondering this particular rendering of this verse. It says, "You must charge the older women to be in demeanor such as befits those who are engaged in sacred things." Charge the older women to be in their demeanor such as befits those who are engaged in sacred things. That word reverent in behavior, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. It's a word that means sacred or holy or set apart to God, and fitting or suitable or right. Appropriate, holy, reverent in behavior. The root meaning actually is priest-like. The person who is reverent in behavior is a person who acts in a way that is appropriate to holiness. This woman acts like a sacred person. She is a saint. She's set apart for God's use, and she acts that way. Her deportment, her behavior, her manner is reverent in behavior. So Christian women are to live as those who are engaged in sacred duties or service. Now, we are not priests, and we are not called to be pastors or teachers of the word to men or elders in our local churches, but we are, as women, called to sacred duties and service. If you're a wife, serving your husband is a sacred duty and service, as unto the Lord. If you're a mom, caring for those children is a sacred duty and service as unto the Lord. If you're a single woman in the workplace, serving the Lord, whether it's in a secular job or a ministry position, you are involved in a sacred duty or service. And our manner of life, in whatever season or calling God has placed us, is to be like that of priests in the temple. What they are doing is sacred, it is holy, and they are conducting themselves in a way that is appropriate for people who have a holy calling. There's a great example of this older woman who is reverent in behavior, who lives as in a priest-like way in terms of her deportment, and that's the woman Anna that you read about in Luke chapter 2. We've taught about her on Revive Our Hearts before, but let me just refresh your memory from Luke 2. It says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. So here's an elderly widow. "She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour," the hour when the baby Jesus was brought into the temple to be dedicated, "coming up at that hour and seeing Christ, the Messiah, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." So you see, here's a woman who could be frittering her life away on countless things. She could be playing, you know, she could be doing internet gambling. Probably Anna couldn't have been, but women today could be doing, they could be gossiping, they could be just reading novels, they could be just wasting their lives or whiling their lives away, but not Anna. She's spending her life productively, worshiping God, praying, fasting, waiting, anticipating the redemption of Jerusalem, waiting for the coming of Christ to this earth. And it's a picture of a woman who is reverent in behavior. Now, you don't have to live at the church or spend all your life fasting and praying to be a woman who is reverent in behavior. But it's saying whatever you're doing and wherever you are and whatever your calling in life is, you're living as a woman who has been set apart as a sacred person for God's service.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is a consistent reminder of the truth that sets us free. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.